other business, I did reference Amendment 23. Public comment period is open, so I honestly don't want to take any comments. But if there is questions from the council members and the public, Mr. Pentney will see if he can give us some insight. So, okay, I have Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, just two things real quick. The comment periods on the amendment and the proposed rule are both closed, but we are still in rulemaking. So we can't really engage in, you know, a debate or discussion, but I'm happy to hear your questions. And as I told the chairman at the break, I might not have the answers, but it would be good to know what the questions are. So appreciate your questions.
Okay, sorry, I misspoke. So I have Ms. Etree, then Mr. Salerno.
Thank you. I do have another topic under other business related to the Atlantic Cod stock structure work in the motion we just passed. So if we could just pin that for the end. But specific to Amendment 23, the one question that I have at the moment has to do with the decision from the agency to not operationalize max retention for May 1st. While I completely support that, the way the agency has been going about rolling out, I know of at least one vessel that has put the cameras on their boats with expectation that they could use a max retention system for May 1st, and now they can't. So I would hope that the agency takes into consideration the implications of delaying max retention for May 1st on boats that have put the systems on their vessels. And most importantly, I hope that you guys take into consideration what could be possible situation where the vessel cannot use a system for upwards to, five months, only to find themselves in a situation where their sector changes providers for the next fishing year. And so they may not receive any financial benefit from having the agency pay for the system. I think largely we're seeing in the sector world that there's no real game plan for what happens when sectors change EM providers, and that's creating some issues. But specific to vessels that have put systems on their boats for max retention for May 1st who can't use them, I hope that there can be some discussions started now for what to do for those boats that are kind of now in limbo.
Yeah, okay. I didn't hear a question in there, but thank you, Libby. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my questions relate to the implementation of Amendment 23. Hopefully they're not too specific that you can kind of give us at least a gist of. So my one question is, I think we discussed this at one of our sector manager meetings and our most recent sector manager meeting. I want to confirm that implementation will not be by May 1st. Is that correct? First question.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Now, because there is going to be delayed implementation, we will be working under the agency's authority at the 99% at sea monitoring level. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I guess my last question is a little more, I guess we'll see how it goes. So there's obviously some pretty straightforward components of Amendment 23, and there's some other components of Amendment 23 that's going to take some significant programming at the Science Center and at GARFO to make sure we're all on the same page. So my question is, do you anticipate the implementation of Amendment 23 being as in total, or is it going to be a piecemeal type process? The easier things at the beginning and some of the more difficult things later on.
I think we don't have a concrete answer to that. I think we're intending to implement the amendment in its entirety, but there may be some particular, as you noted, some technical aspects of it that we can't just switch, you know, flip a switch on May 25th, you know, to pull a date out of the air.
I appreciate that. I guess, you know, because I obviously work very deep in the weeds in the world of ground fishing sectors and what have you, I'm just concerned that the implementation will occur after these technical issues are solved, or, well, that's what I'm hoping for. And it's not another thing that we all kind of have to muddle through. So I'm just hoping that the technical issues will be taken care of before A23 is implemented in full. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to go back to the question I was asking earlier about the design of the dockside monitoring program, and really trying to look forward to beyond this first year of implementation of Amendment 23, because I understand the agency will be running the dockside monitoring program in the upcoming year. And that there are efforts to try to develop a third party program to do that beyond next fishing year. And hearing the folks from GMRI sort of lay out how long it's taking to do various aspects of dockside monitoring, it seems like a lot of the time is being spent validating the dealer weights, lesser amount of the time, a couple hours, is on the subsampling of the sublegal fish. And I just hope that the council can think about that moving forward as we look a year ahead to the potential for a third party dockside monitoring program, that we make sure we're designing that program to provide the information that the council is interested in getting from the dockside monitoring program. In the amendment, it talks some about validating dealer weights, but under the maximized retention program, it seemed more focused on measuring the sublegal size fish and keeping an eye on catch composition. And in order to develop the third party program, I think the system could benefit from some clarity from the council on what exactly it is we're hoping to get out of the dockside monitoring program, so we can build a program that provides us the information that we're looking for in a way that's efficient and cost effective. So I know there's not a question in there. It's just something that's come up through the work I've been doing on the maximized retention program, knowing we have a year to work on a dockside monitoring pilot program, and looking forward a year when maybe the agency is transitioning out of running that program and we have third party providers doing it. So I'm hoping that's a topic that could perhaps come up at the Ground Fish Committee meeting, Ground Fish Committee sometime in the future. Not a problem to be solved today, but I think one we should spend some time thinking about moving forward. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Ms. Edry.
Thanks. Well, I don't necessarily disagree with the thought process behind as the agency is developing a third-party dockside monitoring program. I am confused process-wise because the way that we structured Amendment 23, the council seemed to devolve responsibility to developing this program to GARFO. So is there an expectation that there will be some council feedback on how that third-party system is developed, or will it be like similar programs where the agency will work with the various partners that have been working on the programs and develop something? Again, for transparency, the way we structured Amendment 23 and communicated that to the public, I don't know if folks had an expectation that the council was going to continue work on Amendment 23 to develop the details of the programs that we didn't want to develop during Amendment 23. No, I'm confused.
You got nothing? Libby, what? Ask your question.
The question is, does the council play a role in the development of the third-party dockside monitoring program? I mean, that's basically what Jeff was asking. And I'm asking, does the council play a role in that? Or is the plan for the agency to develop that with third parties like GMRI, who's been working within this process? Who plays the role in the development of the third party dockside monitoring standards?
But sorry, Libby, I was chatting with Pete, which is why there was silence on our end. So, yeah, I mean, the dioxide monitoring program, I guess, we don't view that as a thing in and of itself. It's part of the MREM program that we plan to operationalize with the final rule. To the extent that the council provided input to, you know, developed Amendment 23, that's the council was involved in the design of that. We're going to implement that. And there's certainly always an opportunity for the council to continue to provide feedback to us as we implement these things. If the data that we're getting out of it are not useful to the council, we'd want to know that and talk about how we can modify the program to satisfy the council's objectives. But I'm not viewing dioxide monitoring as distinct from something else. It's just part of the MREM program.
Thank you for that. And thank you for letting me know you guys were just chatting, and it's weird being remote when you guys are all together, but thank you. That was my understanding. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on the process of it. Thank you.
Ms. Denise.
So I think to follow up on this a little bit, you know, when we heard about the EFP and the elements of the EFP, I'm not sure all the elements that were in the EFP are carried over into the amendment document. And so I think there's some question in some people's mind anyways about whether all those elements of the EFP, some of which may not be specified in the amendment, will be operationalized. And obviously we don't know yet because we're not there. But it might be helpful in evaluating that is if we had an understanding whether the information provided in the EFP, collected in the EFP, is information that is useful and is not collected in any other way. I mean, you know, just to use a specific example, I think the EFP is verifying dealer weights. And that's the only part of the groundfish plan that's verifying dealer weights. And it's, you know, there, I think in some people's mind, there's a question about whether that's needed in the operational program. And you know, I think that's, you know, people are talking around the issue. I think that's one of the things that people are wondering. And I don't know if, obviously the agency hasn't decided yet, so I'm not expecting a comment, but I think we're just trying to identify some of the issues that we're talking about here.
Okay. Anyone from the audience have a question? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is Amendment 23 related, but it's also related to federal funds. So in the proposed rule, it was anticipated that there would be enough federal funds available to cover at-sea monitoring for 1 to 2 years. And at that time, that was prior to additional appropriations coming into play, which were voted on in March. So there's additional money to coming to cover monitoring shoreside expenses for the agency, as well as expenses for the industry. In the past years, we've been provided with an update from the agency by Dr. Hare on the spend plan that is anticipated for those funds. I'm curious if by the June council, if there's a plan for by the agency on, you know, obviously you've probably been having internal discussions about what's available and what's potentially new coming in. And at what point do you plan on making an announcement? Do you plan on giving an update at the June council meeting on what funds are left from old appropriations and plans for new appropriations moving forward? When will we have an idea of an update on that? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question, Jackie. So I have my phone a friend beeping in here that we're actively working on the spend. We don't have, I don't think we have the allocation yet, but we're working on the spend plan on what we think the allocation that we'll get is going to be, and are looking to fast track that. You know, we have to send it to headquarters and there's all this back and forth stuff. But we think we should be able to give an update in June, barring who knows what happens when that stuff goes back and forth to the Hill. But hopefully by June, we can provide that spend plan update.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just follow up. I think, not to speak for the Science Center, but I think we can certainly try to provide an update on the funds spent to date and what's left in the various pockets. I think one thing I want to emphasize that Mike just mentioned, before we can release the spend plan publicly, it has to be approved through from the Hill. And sometimes that's like, we might have a spend plan and then it takes a long time before we get it through its various review cycles and get it approved by the appropriations staff and committee. So, you know, as Mike said, it would be great if we can have something to share by June, but we can't commit to that simply because we're not in control of a significant part of that process.
Just a few follow-ups. First question, do you plan on consulting at all with the council or the council's executive committee before designing that spend plan?
Yeah, I don't believe we normally do that. And I'm not sure we technically can, given this an appropriations process.
The other comment I just wanted to quickly make, it's this: the latest monies in March are very different from previous appropriations because it makes that divide between shoreside expenses, that's overhead from the agency, versus the industry expenses. It also lists groundfish sectors as potentially being eligible for funding. I know in the past the groundfish sectors have, you know, made note to the agency that, you know, their responsibility in light of this increased monitoring, that the role of the sectors has increased substantially. And also to achieve the 100% electronic monitoring as well is a huge burden upon sector resources. So hopefully the sectors will be able to respond now in light of this new language that's in this recent appropriations, that they'll be able to provide some feedback on expenses that would be helpful for them moving forward that you would consider in your spend plan.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. Okay, I'm going to go. I don't see any other hands from the public, so I'm going to go to the council for one last shot. I got Mr. Smith and then Ms. Eitri.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted a quick follow-up on Tom's comment regarding the dockside monitoring. You know, my recollection of what the council did in Amendment 23 was that it considered a dockside monitoring program for the entire fishery, and that the primary purpose of that articulated in the amendment was third-party verification of dealer-reported weights, and that the council chose not to move forward with that requirement for dockside monitoring for the whole fishery, but it did include a requirement for dockside monitoring for the maximized retention EM approach. And what I recall seeing in the amendment is that the focus on the dockside monitoring for max retention was primarily to get at undersized fish. Were we seeing changes in the catch composition? Was the waiver of minimum fish sizes creating incentives to target smaller fish? And that we wanted to have that dockside monitoring focus at least in part on the sublegal fish that were now being landed. And so that makes sense to me. And my comment about having the council weigh in on the design of the dockside monitoring program is that if there's a distinction between whether we want it for verifying dealer weights or getting a better handle on the sublegal fish, or both, whatever we want, I just think we should communicate it, because the design of the program and the cost of the program moving forward will be influenced by what the council expects to get out of that dockside monitoring program. There was language in the proposed rule that contemplated validating dealer weights and also collecting biological samples, which I don't know that that's the role of a dockside monitor. It seems like a NEPOP observer or port agent might be able to do that. So my comment is just, I think we should articulate why we want a dockside monitoring for maximized retention and maximized retention only, so we can design a program moving forward that meets the council's goals on it. So that's the conversation I hope we can have moving forward. Thanks.
Ms. Eitri.
Thank you. Are we moving past Amendment 23 and going straight to other business, or are we still on Amendment 23? I think I'm the only one with my hand up, but I can't see.
Libby, are you asking whether or not we're done with A23 and you can go to your other business?
Yes, because I don't currently have my hand up, so I don't know if that's why you're calling on me.
The answer is yes.
Okay, great. Just really thinking about the discussion we just had with the motion regarding the Atlantic Cod stock structure work. And maybe this is just a conversation, like a side conversation with the executive committee or for something for Jamie to maybe talk through with Rick, is maybe there's a way to approach kind of the initial discussions different from our traditional format of council motions. I know wrapping my head around the concept that we could end up having 4 biological stock models and 2 management units or 3 management units, it is a hard thing to do. And so just thinking about the council dialogue and how to foster constructive council dialogue, and even for members of the public, just throwing out there the thought that maybe there could be some value to think about different ways just initially to help folks think through what's happening, both at a stock assessment level, but also as a management level with this Atlantic Cod stock structure work. So I just wanted to throw it out there for thought and consideration. And I don't know which body is the appropriate body to dig deeper into it, but it was just an observation I was having as folks were talking about that last motion. Thank you.
Okay, Libby, thank you. Chairman Bellavance and Dr. Cornet can certainly have a discussion amongst themselves or perhaps with you as well to address that. So, is there any other business underground fish today? Seeing none, that finishes our agenda for today, I believe. And I just want to remind everybody, public comment is tomorrow for items not on the agenda. If you have something you'd like to bring up, please let Janice or myself or somebody know. Not your mother, but somebody that's going to help you. And does anybody on the council have any other business in general for tomorrow afternoon? Okay, well, if you change your mind, just let us know. It's just a curiosity, really, so. With that, we are adjourned until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we are going to start with mackerel.